This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Center. I'm Tasha Fusil. Conversations of late have applauded the disruptive methods of Uber in revolutionizing public transportation. And apart from the ensuing uproar from the taxi industry, not a lot is being discussed when it comes to positive solutions for the industry. Enter TaxiNet, a platform with a mission to develop and coach drivers to ensure their competitiveness. Here to tell us more is TaxiNet General Manager, Hairil Hakma. Welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Okay, first of all, give us some background on TrupCo, your parent company, which has a pretty cool philosophy of no to complaints and yes to doing.
Okay, well, TrupCo was started by three founders, with the directors of the company. All right, and basically, when we first came in, our histories had a lot to do with ride-sharing companies. We started off with Uber way back in January of 2014, and we trained, interviewed, right, and coached drivers for them. And we grew strong in September of 2014 when we launched UberX for them. All right, we went off with Uber in November of 2014. And then this formula was again repeated with GrabCar in December of 2014 when we did a My Wild Taxi promotion for them. And we relaunched their brand in February, right? We're using the same formula. So for us, it's all about looking at the welfare of the drivers, making sure that they perform according to the KPIs that has been given, all right? And by doing so, we told them that, okay, these are the formula that will give you a better income, right, and give you a better management of your operations. We taught them to look at it as a business model, right, and how for them to best manage it at their level.
So this is something that you're doing now currently with the taxi industry itself?
Well, we have stopped all business dealings with ride-sharing companies in as of August of 2015. All right. So, but what we have found is that this formula is a formula that extends even to taxi drivers, because we did a continuous project with about 20 taxi drivers. Right? We engaged them, and over the period of 3 months, all right, we looked at how this management of drivers can be applied to taxi, and we were very surprised with the result. You know, because for these taxi drivers, right, using this same methodology, all right, we noticed that drivers were able to increase their income by up to 30%. You know, and we're talking about drivers who are using meters, all right, and talking about drivers who are, what do you call it, consistently achieving 8,000 to 9,000 gross income monthly.
How much of a percentage do those drivers make up of the entire landscape of the taxi industry, and what does it look like right now?
Well, at this point, all right, we believe that out of the 45,000 to 50,000, according to SPAD numbers of registered taxi drivers in the Klang Valley, we have at least 2,000 of these drivers, you know, which is what we target for the first year growth of TaxiNet, you know, because we have just started this platform and engaging drivers, you know, and this process calls for the, what do you call it, categorization of drivers, all right? We need to understand how they operate, how they perform, all right? And through that, then we can categorize them. So these drivers that I've just mentioned are those that we put as category A. So these are generally drivers with good taxis, basically new taxis, right? And they have a very good understanding of customer service, right? And they have repeat customers, right? They know basically how to manage their operations to increase productivity, right? So, for example, if they're out there 10 hours, you know, they can do at least 15 trips within that 10 hours. So they are maximizing all options to ensure that they get a better income, yeah.
Okay, so you've set a criteria for these three different tiers.
Yes.
But first of all, how did you get connected with these drivers? Was it through companies or was it a direct approach? How did it work?
Well, when we wanted to start engaging drivers, you know, we basically went to the ground. We converged at places where taxi drivers were known to come. You know, we waited at NGV petrol stations, you know. We went to taxi stands, you know. We went up directly, spoke to them, you know, passed them our forms, you know, and did a brief explanation. And then once we had that contact build up, then we started calling them in, you know. We had briefing sessions for them, specifically at their office, you know, and we have engaged at least 450 drivers over a period of 1.5 months, you know, since mid-December. And I think this approach was a very good practice for us, you know, to basically gauge, you know, how drivers view the current industry, you know, how much they want to move forward, you know, and what their thoughts were. Yeah.
What was the initial response when you approached these taxi drivers? Was there skepticism?
There was a lot of skepticism. You know, I think our biggest challenge was, you know, for them, once they heard about TaxiNet, you know, their first question was, are you an app company? Right? And there were some drivers who knew about our background with the ride sharing companies, you know, so they questioned that, you know, what were our motives, you know, and they were very skeptical about when we talked to them about being able to improve their income, you know, so everyone wanted a quick solution, you know, so, but it was interesting because, like I said, you know, the more that we engaged with them, you know, the more that we peeled the layer back and we saw that these drivers are looking for direction. You know, they're looking for someone to take the reins, you know, and tell them basically how to improve, you know, because they are in a situation where they're confused, they're frustrated, they're not seeing any solution at the moment, you know, coming from the other stakeholders in the industry. Yeah.
What are the major challenges that these taxi drivers are facing?
Well, right now, I would say that the main challenge is because of the poor public perception, you know, that is coming to the fore. You know, I mean, issues relating to poor taxi services, you know, the availability of taxis at certain times of the day, the fares, you know, the using of meters, you know, which are basically issues which has become popular topics on the mainstream media, you know, is being discussed a lot on the social media, right? So for them, when I mentioned, you know, we have 45,000 to 50,000 licensed taxi drivers in Klang Valley, you know, a lot of these good drivers, you know, getting frustrated because they're being painted with the same brush, you know, and they claim that, you know, we're trying to give our best, you know, but, you know, that is, we know that we can do better, all right? But definitely someone has to be, you know, telling us what direction should we take at this point. Yeah.
Right. So as you said, some of the biggest complaints by the general public are to do with their perceived attitudes, how they refuse passengers, they don't go by the meter. Is this a systemic problem? And how does TaxiNet, you know, intend to address and fix it?
Okay, I would like to add that, you know, this public perception, you know, is also, the situation now is getting to a point where people are starting to compare, you know, the services that is being offered by the ride-sharing companies. So the ride-sharing companies are very good at what they do in terms of marketing it, all right? They're telling that reliability, convenience, you know, and that basically every call that you make, you know, will send a driver for you, you know. So these are the kind of things that taxi drivers have to contend with, you know. So for us at TaxiNet, our approach is a wholesome approach in the sense that we get a lot of questions. So what kind of training do you do? You know, so for us, training is just a small element of what we really do, right? So our experience with the ride-sharing companies and this methodology that we're talking about is something that is providing drivers, you know, a platform, you know, an avenue for continuous development, right? So you have to start right from the basics. You know, you have to get to know these drivers, categorize them, right? And then from that categorization, look at what kind of comprehensive plan that you can give to them. You know, so I would say that the best thing I can compare to, like, personal coaches, you know, you go to the gym, you know, the personal trainer will basically look at, you know, what your dietary needs are, you know, what kind of exercise regime that they want to put you through. And basically that's what we do. You know, we do not have one-off training program that applies to all drivers. You know, it's a very personalized thing, all right? So once we get to know you, we categorize you, then with the evaluation, then we will do the plan with you. You know, we'll monitor it, we'll see how far you have gone, you know, and that's basically what we intend to do with these drivers.
I'm speaking to Hyrule Hakma, General Manager of TaxiNet. We're talking about how TaxiNet is planning to transform the taxi industry. When we come back, we'll look at the transformations that need to take place in our taxi industry. So stay tuned to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, I'm Tasha Fusil, and you're listening to Resource Centre. I've got Hyrule Hakma, the General Manager of TaxiNet, a platform that's dedicated to improving and making the taxi industry in Malaysia more competitive. In order to talk about the different ways in which taxi drivers can improve themselves, we have to understand, you know, why ride-sharing companies are doing so well. And we spoke a little bit about this before. The marketing is done really well. What are the major differences? I mean, what ultimately makes a passenger choose a ride-sharing service over a regular taxi?
Okay. First, I'd like to state that TaxiNet believes that the ride-sharing companies, you know, are basically a good thing for the taxi industry, you know, because this has provided a push, you know, or a reason for the taxi industry to actually transform itself, you know, and become more competitive, right? So that's our stand, right? And but our experiences working with the ride-sharing companies, you know, we have seen that what they offer, you know, is something that is a bit of a challenge, you know, for, because what they have right now are a lot of financial resources, right? So when people choose ride-sharing service, you know, over the normal taxis, is basically one of the things that pull them is the lower fares. You know, so what we have seen is that the lower fares are not something which is a long term thing that they can do. You know, they to promote their services, right? They have a lot of financial resources, so they heavily subsidize the riders. Right, and they also heavily incentivize the drivers. All right, but what this creates are short-term gains. Right, they change their incentives and their promos, you know, on a regular basis. All right, and in mature markets where these ride-sharing companies have grown, you know, it's really back to the consumer paying power, you know, to really dictate the market. You know, and so that is what we see as not something viable at this point. You know, ran the management of drivers for the ride-sharing companies. One of the major differences that we had with the taxi industry was that we had a free hand to control who was given the opportunity to drive. So basically customer complaints, all right, performance based, you know, you don't reach your KPIs, you don't hit certain number of hours in a day, and these were all reasons for you to be called back, retrained, all right, and given a reminder. In most cases where drivers do not seem to be able to perform to the KPIs that we've set for them, then they are let go. So during the 2 years that we ran this business for the ride-sharing companies, we have had to engage more than 2,600 drivers, you know, and only 800 of them really made it driving cars. Yeah.
Would you find that the filtration process for taxi companies or taxi drivers, would it have to be more stringent because you are working with such a diverse set of individuals? I mean, they all come from different companies, may have received very little to no training, or and various levels of understanding of what is required in good customer service, for example.
Okay, yeah, I was talking about the ride sharing companies, you know, and how it was a very fluid driver pipeline that we had, you know,
right.
And it was very easy for us to control quality at that point.
Right. So
but when you talk about the taxi drivers, right, then you're walking into a whole new ball game, right? Okay, because basically, taxi drivers, like you mentioned, you know, it's not just up to the taxi drivers, right? It's up to everyone, the other stakeholders within the industry, okay? Because right now, if we believe that taxi drivers are mostly people who are matured, I mean, they have chose taxi driving as a career, you know, and for most of them, it's not a choice. It's something that they do, you know, on a regular basis. They have families to support, all right? So for them, it is vital that they understand, right? Look, I can't enforce discipline on you, you know, but it is to your best advantage, you know, for you to listen to us, you know, because this is not something that we take easily. We have looked at the methodology, right? We have tested it out, right? And if you don't believe us, you have your colleagues within the industry, the category A drivers, where you can speak to, you know. This is the kind of approach that we have. It has to be a continuous engagement, positive, you know, telling them that their things can be better, all right? But ultimately, you know, it is not a platform that we can enforce, all right? Because the sole enforcement thing really involves the contract that they have with their taxi companies, you know? The taxi companies have to decide, you know? But on the other side of it, you know, the taxi companies have a very strong reason to support TaxiNet, you know, because you have taxi drivers who are not paying their daily rental on time because of their inability to make a good income, all right? So this is something that we have engaged the taxi companies, you know, and spoken to them, you know, and trying to make them understand how critical it is for them at this point, you know, to have these drivers, you know, understand quality and how to make driving, you know, a long-term solution for them.
Can you tell me more about some of the approaches and methodologies that you apply to the individuals, and what sort of like changes are you encouraging?
Okay. All right. Once a driver comes in, all right, we basically evaluate them, all right? We look at their basic competencies, all right? We basically ask them how they operate, right? What's their basic income, okay? So all of this is then channeled towards providing them a comprehensive program, all right? So basically, our data is saying that, you know, within a week, right, you should be able to do 70 trips in a week, you know, provided that you work maybe 10 to 12 hours a day, all right, 6 days a week, okay? And looking at where you are located, all right, you need to work during certain times, you know, you need to be out there at the right place at the right time, especially during the peak hours, you know, 7 to 9 a.m. in the morning, right, and then 12 to 2 in the afternoon, right, and between 5 to 8 in the evening, right, and you have to be at the hot spots, you know, at the correct locations, you know, for you to be able to make more money, okay? And we encourage them on the use of apps, you know, because a lot of app jobs are higher in value, you know, for these drivers. And we encourage them to look at the way that they communicate with their riders, right? Basically, the customer service aspect is a very important thing to get repeat customers, right? Because a lot of our good drivers basically look at maybe 20 to 30% of them have regulars, you know, who uses their services for anything from airport trips, you know. So this is something that we want drivers to build a long-term relationship with their riders.
Yeah. Part of your plan is also to see the industry regulate itself. How will this happen?
All right. When we looked at TaxiNet, you know, basically we were looking at, okay, what is the most iconic taxi image that you have? You know, you go to London and you have the black cabs, you know, and the black cabs are, you know, largely run by the guild. It's an industry where the stakeholders themselves take the reins, you know, and do not depend on other things. You know, the taxi drivers go through a very extensive training program. You know, it's very difficult for them to get a license to drive, all right? And they have, they take care of everything, you know, from the routes taken, you know, the kind of cars being used, all right? When we say that TaxiNet is looking at regulating the industry, we are looking at everyone pitching in, right? And understanding that currently they are under threat. Ride-sharing companies with the things that they have put on the table, you know, and offering to the riders, right, poses the biggest challenge, right? And so taxi drivers have to look at it in terms of the competitive edge that they bring. You know, they cannot survive like this. You know, they can, but it will be a very painful, you know, experience for them, because on a daily basis, you know, they have to go out there, you know, and scrabble for a few trips, you know, which does not really make driving, you know, something that is as lucrative as it should be, you know. And so these are something that we need to have. Taxi companies have to look at this, you know, and see, you know, what else can they bring. You know, they need to have a more wholesome approach to how they manage their drivers, okay? If you have permits and you have taxis lying around, that's not going to work for you. Now, we know for a fact that there are many taxi companies who are saddled with up to 30% of their fleet, you know, not being on the road, you know, just basically because they are drained of new blood coming into the industry.
What will TaxiNet be doing to attract more individuals to come forward and undergo this program or undergo this sort of assistance and guidance with you?
Well, our approach is right at this moment, you know, is just to carry the right message. You know, we need to approach and talk to as many people, agencies, you know, taxi drivers, you know, because we feel that we have just touched the edges only of this whole thing. Right now, people are, again, very skeptical. You know, like I said, the whole general feeling in the industry is one of skepticism, you know, skepticism, because the public, on the one hand, are asking, you know, look, taxi drivers are known to complain, to demonstrate, you know, to cry out for the authorities to take action. Mm. But what are you doing, you know, about this, all right? Mm. Taxi companies, like I said, you know, come to one point, you know, they'll be forced to change, you know, the way that they operate, all right? So right now, it's just carrying the right message, you know, and being here, being able to speak of these things, you know, is just one of it, you know. So we will continue our approach of engaging directly with drivers, right? We will continue engaging with the authorities. We will continue engaging with taxi companies. And at the same time, we will also engage with other agencies, you know, like the tourism sector, you know, sectors which are directly affected by taxi drivers, you know, tourists coming to Malaysia. You know, I mean, these are the things that we're working towards. Yes.
How would you gauge the progress so far, measured with your efforts?
Well, I think it's been good. All right. We've had 9 sessions and we've had an engagement with more than 500 drivers, of which about 450 has signed up with us. All right. So I think in terms of that approach is good, but it's not good enough. You know, that's why we need the taxi companies to come on board, you know, and supply their drivers with us, you know, and see what we can do for them. You know, but we are confident that, you know, at least by end of 2016, you know, we'll touch 2,000 mark that we have set as our target for this year. Because for us, the limits to what we can do can go to all the drivers, the 45,000 to 50,000 drivers available. You know, but we want to develop a core batch of drivers first, you know, because this is very important. If you have 2,000 drivers and each driver is doing a minimum of maybe 15 to 20 trips a day, you know, that's more than enough to cover the bulk of the city center requests, you know, for rides. You know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about productivity, you know, we're talking about quality, you know, and because the way that we see going forward, you know, if nothing is done, you know, the poor drivers will just drop off. You know, they are not able to continue. You know, the general economy is not in such a good, you know, I mean, the vibes are a bit poor out there. You know, people are struggling. You know, it's going to affect a lot of people, especially taxi drivers.
As TaxiNet continues to gain some traction from the consumer's perspective, is there any way to identify whether a taxi driver has gone through the TaxiNet treatment?
All right. I think that's very interesting because, well, we are still working through that. You know, you're right. The visibility that, you know, when a rider gets into a taxi, you know, and to see a TaxiNet logo there, right? With the numbers, you know, that they can give a feedback either through Twitter, you know, Instagram, or you know, a hotline number is something that is we're working towards, you know, because that is very important, yeah. Because if you go and you know, behind the taxis, they all return the SPAD complaint numbers, you know, but nobody really calls that number, you know. Some do, you know, but not the majority of riders, you know. So for us, it's not about we want to know the feedback, you know, because we can't enforce, but it's more about positive engagement, you know. We would like to know when riders go on the TaxiNet train drivers, you know, how do they feel, you know, are there any areas for improvement, okay? So we have set up a Facebook page, you know, a TaxiNet Facebook page, and I think it's very interesting, you know, when we had that page, you know, we've had all sorts of response from the public, you know, and not a lot of them are very positive, you know, so that's what we're trying to engage. We need to make, to also educate the public, you know, look, you have a part to play in this whole thing, you know, if you want better services, right, give us a feedback, tell us how we can improve. And for us, is again getting the feedback to the drivers. You know, do you realize that you have done this? Do you think that you can have done better on this? You know, so this is our approach. You're right. We will work towards having a visibility of, you know, TaxiNet in the taxis that sign up with us.
All right. Okay. All the best, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Hairul Hakma, General Manager of TaxiNet. This has been Resource Center. I'm Tasha Fasil, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.